Excuse me, recording to starting.
Thank you very much, Veronica. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GNSO Next Generation RDS PDP call on Wednesday, 22nd of June 2016. And in just of time today, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants, so we'll take attendance via the Adobe Connect room only. So if right now you're only on the audio bridge and not connected to the Adobe Connect room, could you please let yourself be known over the audio?
Daniel, for the record, I'm currently on the phone bridge, not yet connected to the Adobe Connect. Thank you. Back to you, Chuck.
Thank you so much, Daniel. Noted. And I'd also like to remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. Thank you ever so much, and I'll hand it to Chuck now.
Well, hello, everyone. It's still Tuesday for me. A couple hours left on Tuesday, but for most of you, it's Wednesday. Appreciate you joining us, and many of you at not-so-desirable times, but Holly doesn't have any sympathy for us.
Nope.
She gets those most of the time, so I don't blame you, Holly. So, and others that are from that in the Asia Pacific area. So, well, we have a full agenda today, I think, and some very important things to go over. So, let's move right into it. Does anyone have an update to their statement of interest? Not hearing or seeing anyone. Are there any questions or comments about the agenda that's posted in Adobe and was sent out yesterday, I believe, or earlier today for me, maybe? So, okay. Let's jump right in to second item, and just get a quick update on our first two outreaches. And I'm going to ask Marika if she would give us an update on outreach message number one.
Hello, everyone. So this is Marika. So what you see on the screen is, I think some of you may be familiar with a public comment review tool. It's a tool that we've used in other working groups for the purpose of analyzing and reviewing that are submitted. So what we've started doing is for those comments that we've received to date in response to outreach and message one, and that is input that we've received from the ASAC, Registry Stakeholder Group, the GAC, and the ALAC, we started plugging that in to the public comment review tool. The advantage of this tool is that it allows you to kind of separate out the comments along the questions that we've asked in the outreach message, and it hopefully will facilitate the working group's review of those. So you'll see in the first comment is basically, in the first column, is basically a copy and paste from the actual comment related to the specific question one that you can see at the top. Column two highlights who is which entity made that comment. And then in the third, it's in some cases, we've already provided a draft working group response. And the idea being as well that this both serves as a tool for the working group to remember and recall what information or what action you decided to take in response to the input received, but also for those that have made those submissions that they can see how the working group has considered and addressed the input provided. I think there are a couple of areas where the response is maybe not as clear-cut, and that's where we've left a blank, and that may require some further conversations, although I believe that the leadership may actually be looking at those and providing some draft responses for your review. But at least we hope that this is a starting point which the working group can use to work through the input provided in a systematic way and record how you've reviewed it and what action you took as a result of the input provided.
Thank you very much, Marika. This is Chuck again, and special thanks and appreciation to Marika for getting this started. It's actually in pretty good shape. I think there are four items. If you scroll down through the document, you'll find four of them, I think, that have the orange, red, green, and blue choices there that haven't been chosen yet, and no responses. But the leadership, the first action item out of this is for the leadership team, as Marika indicated, to prepare some draft responses and have this ready to go, assuming we don't get any really late inputs, have it ready to go for our working group meeting in Helsinki. So hopefully the working group can approve it, and we can post the responses. So two action items out of this, then: one for the leadership team to this week prepare responses, and I got something started on that earlier today, and asked the other members of the leadership team to review that and suggest edits and add things or delete things or whatever they like, so that hopefully by the end of the week we can have a response that we can send to the full working group before our meeting on Tuesday of next week in Helsinki. The second action item would be to include on our agenda in Helsinki some time the working group meeting on Tuesday, this particular item, review and approval of the comment tool from outreach number one. Any questions on outreach number one and the comment tool? Okay, let's go. Let's talk then about outreach number two. I appreciate the good work that our liaisons are doing on that. Do any of the liaisons, or for that matter, anybody from different groups, have any questions or comments with regard to outreach number two? Please note that we're asking that the responses for that, which are for additional requirements, be submitted not later than our working group meeting in Helsinki on Tuesday. Before that, if possible, but it'd be okay to submit things. And in that meeting, as well as in the cross-community meeting, we will give opportunity for visitors as well as members to suggest requirements at that time. Hopefully everyone saw the change in direction with regard to outreach number two, and that is that we don't expect people to review our huge list of requirements. It's perfectly okay for them to just submit requirements. We will, if the liaisons can catch them as duplicates, fine. That's even a big thing to ask of the liaison, so don't worry too much about that. We will catch the duplicates later on, and I think that makes this particular task a realistic one for people to get done by next week. Keeping in mind that it's not as if we can't add new requirements after that working group meeting, and I think everybody understands that. So any comments or question on outreach number two? Okay, so then let's go to the next agenda item. Again, maybe one more comment on that. Again, certainly ask the liaisons to encourage their members to respond. If they don't, it's okay, but make sure they're aware of the request and get a chance to respond. And then, of course, anybody in the various groups is welcome to encourage others to respond in your groups. Let's go to agenda item three, which is to and this we're going to spend quite a bit of time on. You recall that last week in our working group call, we had quite a bit of discussion on work plan task 11, which is to identify or to agree on how we're going to reach consensus in our deliberations. And so the document in the screen now is the latest version. In fact, it's the 10th version, if you saw the file name. So the leadership team has been pretty busy on this, trying to come up with an approach that hopefully the whole working group can support. There was a suggestion made last week by Kathy Kleiman that we seriously considered, and we've kind of incorporated part of it, although we're only going to add one issue report to the work plan, not three like I suggested might be desirable last week. So what we're going to do on this, because I doubt that very many, if any of you, had time to go through this, and again, like I said in the message I sent about 4 hours ago, we decided not to send a red line because there are way too many red lines, and it would have probably been more confusing. What I will do as we go through this is I'll particularly highlight areas that there were a lot of changes made, okay? So I don't think we need to go through the background. That is pretty much the way it was originally. On Section 1, there are a few changes in there, but the main change from the original version of this is that we are not going to add a third initial report. Got to get my GNSO terms right. So we're sticking with just doing adding an initial report, a first initial report, after we deliberate on the first five questions. But we're definitely going to deliberate on the big three, if all of you know what I mean by that, the three questions related to users and purposes, privacy, and data elements. And we will not go on to the other two questions on accuracy and tiered access. I'm dating myself there. Anyway, so that we will be going on, we will do those after we deliberate on the first three. And if we think that an outreach is useful after we do the first three and before we move on to gated access and accuracy, we can do that. We don't have to use an initial report to do that, but we can do whatever we decide at that point in time, a formal outreach, an informal outreach, or whatever. But there's nothing to prevent us from reaching out if we want to do that and test our thinking before we move on to the next two questions. And then as originally in the work plan, we would do our first initial, we would add an initial report after those first five questions and not wait until we do all 11 questions. And we would do a public comment period, incorporate the public comment, and so forth. So we'll have to update our work plan to reflect that if the group supports this approach. So let me pause there on Section question one. Hopefully you've had a chance while I'm blabbering here to take a look at section one. If anybody has any questions or suggested edits or comments on section one of this proposed approach, notice that we didn't change anything with regard to C, other than any just administrative non-material edits, as far as determining consensus. We would not take a consensus call, a formal consensus call, but rather we would try to reach rough consensus and communicate that to our groups, and we wouldn't take any formal consensus calls as discussed in the charter until we have gotten feedback from the community. So, any questions on section one or concerns? Anybody on the leadership team wants to jump in and comment on something I missed, please feel free to do so at this time. And I better look at the chat, huh? Thanks, Lisa, for answering that question. So, Stephanie, I see your question. When do we figure out the purpose of the RDS and whether we need a new one? I think there's two questions in that, and I think Lisa answered one of them. But I'm not sure you got an answer to the first part of that question is when do we figure out the purpose? Well, that's when we deliberate on the purpose and users thing. And then, of course, we're really not going to probably even try to reach rough consensus on that until we've looked at privacy and data elements as well. So we're going to kind of do all of those in sync, and we'll probably do some jumping around, which is okay. We will do exactly what we need to do to try and cover that. So I don't know if I missed anything else in the chat. If I did, help me out on that. But go ahead, Holly.
I was just going to point out a really helpful addition to the discussion was the email from Jim to actually, I know Stephanie's questions about RDS data, but the way he's broken it down today in the email that Stephanie may not have had a chance to look at will be very useful in actually dealing with that question. So just to add, we've got some more information to read and think about, but it's very useful in that context.
And thanks to Jim for doing that. I just barely glanced at what he submitted the last hour or two. So, but that is very helpful. Thanks, Holly, for pointing that out. That's much appreciated. Any other comments or question on part one of this approach? Okay, then let's go, and this, of course, is Chuck speaking again. Let's go to section two, the next step would be to organize the possible requirements, and as all of you, I think, know by now, we have a ton, okay? I don't even want to say the number. But, you know, even if we trim that list down considerably, even if we cut it in half, which is probably overly optimistic, it's still going to be very difficult to just go one by one and go through them all. So the idea of step two is to organize the possible requirements in a way that will allow us to attack them not one by one, but possibly in groups and order them according to prerequisites and dependencies and so forth. So step two, and the thing that has changed in this particular step is the leadership team decided to go ahead and let Lisa and Susan, who volunteered, Lisa was probably forced into it as staff support. Susan literally did volunteer, but if Lisa wants to say she volunteered, that's okay. So, but the two of them have been spending, I think, incredible hours starting to do both A and B in this task. And we'll take a look at that while we're on this section, section two. But before we do that, let's make sure people look at the what section two says now. There are two things that they're doing. You can see what A is there. This was in primarily in response to Greg Aaron's comments with regard to triaging the list. And we're going to come back and you'll see that how that's actually going on in just a minute. And so the, Susan and Lisa are taking a first crack at that part in A. They're also taking a first crack at part B, which is to try and find requirements that are similar or interdependent and that will hopefully facilitate our order of deliberation and so forth later on. So they're doing both of those. Now, the working group will then get a chance to respond, to comment, to tell Lisa and Susan where they totally blew it, or you can tell them thanks, they did a good job, or some combination thereof. So, but understand that it's a really big effort that they're going through. So it's going to take a while. It's not going to be done in full before Helsinki. They're going to try to, and I'll let them talk about that, to get at least the big three done, at least as a first cut, before Helsinki. If they don't make that, we won't hold it against them, but because it's a huge task. So we're going to come back to this this document and talk about item three, but let's break away right now and pull up, if we can, the triage document to date. Is that okay, Lisa?
Yes, Chuck, bringing it up right now.
And I'll let you and Susan, you can take the lead, and Susan, please jump in and share any lessons you've learned and experiences you've encountered. That's probably good insight for the working group as a whole to hear, since the two of you have been digging down in it. Lisa, I'll let you start, and Susan, I hope you'll jump in and share some of the things you've seen as well.
Thanks, Chuck. And this is Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. I've loaded in a document that's in progress into the Adobe Connect. It's also posted on the meeting materials page. And you should have synchronizations off, so you should have control of this to be able to scroll around yourself. The beginning part of this document, it should look very familiar because it is the draft three of the possible requirements list that we all stared at length in a previous meeting. And what we have been doing actually starts on the third page of the document, where in the section on users and purposes, we've been basically organizing the possible requirements that were already there. So in the process of what we're doing here, we're not changing requirements, we're not adding or deleting to them. What we're trying to do is organize them in two ways. The first way is what Greg Aaron had suggested as a triage approach, where we take all the possible requirements and we put them in a table, and we add a column for prerequisites or dependencies, and then a column for what phase that item probably falls into. We're doing our best to identify the interdependencies between the possible requirements that are on the list. In some cases, especially when we have nested requirements, we're trying to make sure that the nested requirements actually refer back to each other so that if the table gets sorted in a different order, we don't lose the context of the requirement. But the idea of identifying the dependencies is to help us roll back to the possible requirements upon which other possible requirements depend, and that will help hopefully help us when we get to the deliberation stage to home in on those underlying possible requirements, if you will. The phase column then refers back to the process framework, and for each question, what we've done is include just a little bit of the process framework to help us understand what the three phases were, and then to help categorize the possible requirements as possibly falling into phase one, two, or three. Not a whole lot of them fall into phase one, but the idea is that we could park some of the things that are potentially phases two and three until the work group has had a chance to think about the ones that fall into phase one. The other thing that we're doing is then trying to group the possible requirements that are either outright duplicates. In some cases, the same requirement appeared in more than one document verbatim, or it appeared in more than one question verbatim. So we're trying to flag those. But then also, Susan's actually been taking the lead on this part, trying to group the possible requirements that are very similar and probably would need to be deliberated together. Why don't I turn things over to Susan to talk a little bit about the groupings, which you'll find in this document here on pages 26 and 27. Susan?
Thanks, Lisa. That was a really good synopsis of this. And I'm trying to check my document down to 26. There we go. It seems to not want to load. So, first of all, none of this is set in stone. So if when you see some of the groupings that I've selected for one of the possible requirements, I really, especially the first time through, what I did was whatever just jumped out to me first and made sense, then I would categorize it that way. So it might be a purpose, it might be accurate data or data accuracy, and or it might be contact, technical contact. So there's lots of different groups that I just sort of made up as I went along. I went, okay, this is what this reads to me. But then I did find, and especially in the user purposes, I've probably been through that section three times, and tonight Lisa sent me an email saying, well, there was a duplicate and you assigned it to two different groups, you know, because it was there two times, and each time I read it a little differently, which just is a good example of how you can read the language with one thing in mind, and the second time around, read it, and it sort of speaks to you differently. So there's no intention to create artificial groups out of this. It was whatever. Sometimes it was just a key term in the language itself that I would realize I'd pull out. The part that I am finding really difficult now is I am almost through with data elements, and I've finished data accuracy and gated access. I just was going through the possible purposes in the report from page one, working my way back. It might have made sense for me to jump to privacy, which seems to be the biggest group. And as I'm working in a group, in a, you know, core area like data elements, then all of a sudden I'll remember something in user and purposes and go, oh, I probably shouldn't have categorized that that way or grouped it that way. And so sometimes I've gone back and given it an extra grouping. So it might be purposes and policy or so you'll see eventually there could be three different groups. I think that's probably about the max that I've assigned to one of these possible requirements. And but I do think that in privacy, by the time I hit privacy, there's going to be a lot more duplicates, and I haven't really pulled out duplicates. Lisa has done that some, but I think by the time, because that's the fifth grouping or the fifth category, that we will find that, yes, we've already seen this in purposes or maybe in data elements, not that it doesn't belong in privacy too, but to make sure that we categorize those or group those all the same and sort of look back to see what the rationale was in user purposes and data elements, for example, and then make the choice for privacy too. So, you know, it's not an exact science, and I'm sure, you know, each person could read the same language and sort of pull different meaning or different importance out of each one of the possible requirements. But that's just the way I've been going at it. It does take a lot of time, but we're working it through.
Thank you very much, Susan and Lisa, and I'll let you jump back in as you need to while we're talking about this. But I want to first of all point out that one of the nice things about the table format is we can do sorts, you know, primary and secondary sorts. So, for example, we could easily sort it by phase and take a look at what they have identified as phase two or three and ask all of you to see if you concur. And then if in cases where there's agreement with that phase, we can move those requirements out and put placeholders in for phase two and phase three, and won't need to deal with those requirements in phase one. But again, the working group will have a chance to review the phases and weigh in on that. Now, I have a question with regard to the groups, and I guess, Susan, you're probably the one to answer this. Now, will each of the question areas have a different definition of the groups, or are the groups the same across? I haven't looked through them in real. Oh no, it looks like they're probably the same across all five questions. Is that, or all 11 questions actually? Is that the
intent?
And that's probably why you did A to J and then Z backwards. Is that right? To allow some in the middle. Oh no, I'm just not looking down below. I see it.
Yeah, they just went down instead. So an actual so you know, there was nothing scientific about how I came up with the groups. I just, you know, the first thing that hit me is purpose. And so that was number A. And then, you know, the next possible requirement brought to mind contact data for technical resolution. So that was assigned B. And so literally as I worked this through, I have my sort of cheat sheet of the groups with the keys, and I go back, and when I can't find something that really pertains to that possible requirement, then I realize, oh, there's another group here that we should be thinking about. So I will add that, and actually, I think I'm pretty much through. I didn't have time to get this to Lisa tonight because I was working on it this evening, but I think I'm, like, now have something through AV. So there's over 50 groups at this point. that doesn't mean that we might, you know, and as other people look at this, might look at it and go, you know what, you've really divided this up way too far. You know, we need to group this, sort of get rid of some of the groupings I created and group them into more of a concrete or, you know, a larger group, let's put it that way. So these are just, this is what comes up as I review the possible requirements, and then I assign them a code.
Thank you very much, Susan. And as I think it was you that said at the beginning when you were first talking, that this isn't in concrete. In fact, it never will be. As we're deliberating, even after we've kind of finished this step and the working group has supported it, we may find that we group things differently, and that's okay. But I really think that this will help us at least to take a first cut at different groups of requirements and so forth. So I sincerely appreciate all the time that has gone into this. Lisa, did you have anything else to add?
The only thing that I had wanted to mention, I guess two things. One you've already mentioned, but I just want to reiterate that, you know, the real utility of the groups is that it does let us sort and filter. So, for example, we can say, what are all the phase one possible requirements that deal with purpose, different kinds of purposes, or the need to define purpose of different things? So it just lets us home in on that subset of this huge long list that might then be deliberated on, you know, in some more focused fashion. So the coming up with the groups is obviously subjective and can be changed over time as we find the different groups are you know, come into to being useful. But it gives us a starting point for just breaking down this big list into small pieces and looking at it in different ways without losing anything from the whole big list. The other thing I wanted to mention, and Stephanie's pointed out that she still has some outstanding requirements coming in. In fact, I wanted to make sure that everybody knew we haven't forgotten. Thank you to the people that have been continuing to submit their assignments. I think we have 5 or 6 new documents that came in the last week, and we will get those added to the list. Right now, we started with draft 3 as a basis for triage, and then we'll add those additional draft 4 requirements on as we go. And there are still a number of outstanding assignments, and of course, the list is never done. So even after we get to draft 4 and we start working on this, if there are additional requirements, they can be added to the list. And hopefully some will be added from the community during our cross-community session in Helsinki.
And even, this is Chuck, and even in the working group there may be new ones added. So that will all be accommodated. So let me open it up to anybody on the call to questions, suggestions. And I see Stephanie's got one there. And so I'll let Lisa and Susan respond, or at least take that suggestion in consideration. Susan, do you want to respond to Stephanie's suggestion there? Since it's I think it's group adding a group is what's being. I don't know if she means by section a group or not, but. Is that what you're suggesting, Stephanie, that maybe there be a legal group in that list of groups? There is a legal research group, I see. But you're saying something, I assume, different than just a legal research group.
Yeah. This is Susan. So I would expect us to have more groups that pertain to what Stephanie's talking about once we get to privacy, because I think that more of that language is there. But I did struggle as I went through, especially with all the, like Article 29 and Article 18, was that a purpose or was it something that should go in policy? So it could be, Stephanie, that we look at everything that we've determined, that, you know, I have selected, to put into policy and then call out or pull out the, you know, legal and constitutional rights and due process and all of that. And make, so maybe it's a subsection of policy. And that was something Lisa and I discussed, is it felt like policy was going to be pretty big. And should we start making, you know, subgroups within the policy group? So.
Thanks, Susan. Holly, go ahead.
I guess I have a little bit of a reservation with having separate groups called legal and constitutional, because there are going to be bits and pieces in there that refer to purpose, that refer to privacy, that refer to data retention. And so the grouping that we've got now will then be fractured in different places. And I guess I don't... I guess I'm saying to Stephanie, could we keep the categories we've got, and within those categories, maybe we can say, okay, if it's an EU direction, that's not a law in per se, because national laws are what applies. We've got the OECD, which is not a law, but it's a set of principles. But it's all about one particular thing, and I think I'd rather have maybe the document sub-categorized or something, but if it's all about one topic, I think I'd rather have it in one place than a bunch of places. I hope that helps.
Thanks, Holly. And one of the advantages, this is Chuck, one of the advantages I see to the ability to do primary and secondary sorts is that, for example, on the a legal category, that sort could actually result in possible requirements that are across the five questions, but they would all be legally related. So if we felt like it was useful to focus on those, and that would facilitate what we've said we're going to do, the iteration back and forth across questions, so that would actually facilitate that. But thanks for that comment. And again, none of this is in concrete, so we will refine it as we go and as best meets my needs, or best meets our needs, excuse me. That's late for me. So any other questions or comments before we move on, because we're quickly running out of time. But I don't want to cut people off either.
So this is Susan. So I did create an applicable law group, and like I said a couple minutes ago, it was, you know, as I was deciding, was this policy, and the way I viewed something that went into policy, it was not a requirement that resulted in a purpose necessarily, but that would guide that, how that, what the purpose was. That's not a very good explanation, but as I went through it, you know, it was not going to be like a concrete function of a directory service. If we go that way, it was going to be the part of the policy that guided everything. So I think the task at hand will be, once we get this all done, is to go back and look at that big policy group and break it out, add groups. So, you know, maybe for several possible requirements, we might have three different, it might land in three different groups, and we would want to look at it as applicable law or legal or constitutional right, whatever grouping we decide to call it, or call them all, you know, use them all those tags. So, I agree that we need to look at it that way. It's just in this first go-round, it was hard to make all those distinctions.
I'm glad it's you doing this and not me. It is hard. Thanks. This is Chuck. Lisa, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. And just pointing out that also because we uniquely numbered all of our possible requirements, including the source document, it's actually fairly easy to do that sort that you mentioned, Chuck, looking for, let's say, picking out all the documents that are either national laws or things like the European directive. We can do that with the sorting without even having to assign a separate group in order to get just those possible requirements that come from those sources. Along the same lines, we can do that with all the documents from FSAC or all the documents that happen to be current WHOIS policy. Because we have the document number buried in that unique identify for each possible requirement, we're going to be able to look at these this list in a lot of different ways.
Thanks, Lisa. I think it's going to be really helpful. And we'll change things as we go. We'll get better as we go. But this, I think, is going to greatly facilitate what we have to do. Let's go back to the previous document and look at Section 3 on the proposed approach for reaching consensus. And you're going to find that this one is largely attributed to me. And it's not because we just didn't have enough time to fully I came up with an idea, and we talked a lot about it, but I didn't feel like I could fairly say that the whole leadership team was totally behind it, but I don't think they're opposing it. So that's why if you scroll down to Section 3 in this, you're going to see, we've got all this. Now, when do we start deliberation? As you can see, it's going to take Susan and Lisa a lot of time to get that step two done on all the triage and grouping and et cetera, and then for the working group to review that. In the meantime, I'm proposing an idea that would allow us to go ahead and start deliberation on something sooner, which I think we really need to do as a working group. We've been doing all these preparatory things for many weeks, and I know there's frustration because when are we really going to get to it, right? And I understand that. So I'm proposing an approach that would hopefully allow us to do that, maybe even as soon as, if we have time, a little bit of it in Helsinki. That remains to be seen based on time. But so 3A, of course, really is, you know, the work plan is already designed to cover the three areas of users' purposes, privacy, and data element questions. And that's work plan step 12A. Part B, then, to begin that step, I'm proposing, and I want your feedback today, and then for those that are on the call, we'll do it the rest of this week, hopefully get some feedback by the end of the week, so when we go into Helsinki, we have a pretty good idea where the full working group is. So the first step would be to use the list of possible requirements that the work groups developed and is still being developed, and use that to identify a subset of possible requirements that would apply to an RDS in all circumstances. Now, I found in discussing this with the leaders that every term I use was not clear, and this probably isn't either. So that's why I'm going to share some examples. So the first thing the working group would be asked to do would be to go through the requirements for the three areas and then individually, each of you as individuals, propose any of them that you think would fit that bill. In other words, the requirement wouldn't change as circumstances change. There might not be any exceptions. It would apply to the RDS whenever, wherever. And then after just proposing those, we as a group would collectively debate and refine any such possible requirements and try to reach rough consensus that they are indeed requirements that would be constant across the whole RDS. Now, to illustrate that, and we'll entertain questions on this and comments, but I gave a couple possible requirements to illustrate what I'm talking about, and understand that I may be wrong. Don't worry too much about what I'm proposing. I'm not really trying to advocate these as those requirements. The working group needs to do that. But in my mind, at least, they illustrated what I was trying to get at here. So one requirement, and this is from, you can see the source, it was a data element requirement from document 7, the second requirement, and it says the RDS, and I modified it a little bit, I talk about it with a little bit of modification, but the RDS must collect, validate, store, and display the domain name and registrar name for all second-level GTLD domain names. So to me, and I may be wrong, okay, we're not going to debate it now, but to me that's a possible example of the kind of requirement we're going to look for at first, one that maybe would apply regardless of what jurisdiction you're in or regardless of a variety of circumstances. Another example there is the RDS must be in compliance with applicable international law. Now, this one I made up. I glanced through the list of requirements. I didn't find it, but I could have missed it too. But this really comes from registry and registrar agreements because we are required to actually follow any applicable law. It doesn't necessarily have to be international. But in the GNSO, and this particularly became very obvious in the new GTLD program, because the Internet is global, the focus was on international treaties and so forth. That doesn't mean you don't have to follow local laws, but in terms of a requirement that would not have any exceptions or not have any special conditions like jurisdiction, to me that kind of requirement would fit the bill of what I'm talking about. Now, the other thing I did, so if in fact the working group, these two requirements or something like them were proposed, then we as a working group would deliberate on those, refine the wording, debate pros and cons, and see whether we can come to rough consensus at this stage as to whether they are possible requirements that would be broad across the RDS. Now, and so we would deliberate on that and so forth. Now, going down then a little bit further, you'll see I give a counterexample. A possible requirement that may not apply in all circumstances. And again, I don't know if this is a good example or not, but it's one I found that I thought might illustrate. And it's another data element one, since we did a data element one above, and you can see the reference there. The data retention limitation principle, Article 6.1e of the directive, is a fundamental principle in EU data protection law imposing that personal data must only be kept as long as necessary to achieve the purpose for which the data have been collected or for which they are better processed, page 17. Now note that this possible requirement would likely only apply when the applicable jurisdiction, however we define that, let's not go there now, is the EU or in other jurisdictions that have similar directives. So that would be an example of a requirement that we wouldn't cite right now. We'll get to that later, okay? So And then I'll go ahead and finish this section three, and then we'll open it up for discussion. Item Roman numeral two there. So after we would identify these possible requirements that go across all the categories and decide, you know, deliberate on them, then we would review and refine the triage and grouped possible requirements that Lisa and Susan are preparing and refine that. That then will helpfully facilitate us going on to step three there, which is to start deliberating on all the rest of the requirements that don't fit in that first category. Now, let me first of all ask the leadership team, did I leave anything out in that explanation or say anything incorrectly? And then I want to open it up, and you can start raising your hands now, to anybody who has a question or a disagreement or whatever on this particular approach. Okay, it sounds like the leadership team doesn't have anything to add. Any questions or comments or disagreement? I'm going to ask you a very important question in a minute, and that is there any opposition to this approach? Now, we may get into it and define it doesn't work, and if so, we'll adjust. But is there any opposition to this approach from anybody on the call now? And if you need more time to think about it, too, we'll allow to until Friday for people on the call or those not on the call to respond. Otherwise, we'll start moving in this direction. But we need to find out, is there any strong opposition to this particular approach at this time? Okay. I'm not hearing any questions. Now, again, it's throwing a lot at you that you haven't seen before, so I fully appreciate that. So if you think of things after this meeting, please communicate them on the list. It would really be helpful if we have a reasonably good idea that that we can move in this direction by the end of this week, so that when we move into our cross-community session on Monday in Helsinki, we can communicate that and where we're going next, because there will probably be questions along that line. I see some people typing, so we'll watch what's said there. And I'll just be quiet for a little bit. Please excuse the quietness for a moment, but I want to give people a chance to think and then possibly respond. Totally agree, Stephanie. And we will hit walls. But as long as we all continue to be constructive and think out of the box and try to find ways to bridge gaps, I think we can have success. Okay. I'm not hearing anyone or seeing anyone outrightly objecting to this approach. We're going to assume, at least for this call, that there are no strong objections to moving in this direction. And action item then, after this call, if staff can help me out on this, let's get a message out to the full working group and give them until the, Friday to express any concerns or suggest any edits or ask any questions, so that hopefully we have a pretty good idea by Friday, by end of the day on Friday, where we stand with regard to this and in particular, work plan step 11. Okay. Well, I told you we'd spend a lot of time on that, and hopefully that was helpful for you. And most importantly, hopefully this will help us start moving and making some progress while we still triage the list and so forth. I say we, Susan and Lisa, and then all of us reviewing that and commenting on it. So that buys us some time while it's still allowing us to start doing some deliberation. So let's go then to planning for health, the Helsinki meeting, agenda item 4. I believe, I've looked at so many things today, I can't remember. I believe that let me ask the question instead of just saying I believe. Lisa, were the two presentation documents sent around to the whole working group or just to the leadership list? I don't remember.
Chuck, we posted them on the meeting materials page, but no, we didn't redistribute them.
Okay, so they're posted on the meetings material page, and I encourage you all to go to that page. And how do they get to them quickly on that page?
I'm just looking for the link right now. We have the meeting materials link in the chat here somewhere.
So the agendas for both meetings really haven't varied much from what we talked about last week. Okay? But one of the things we need to do for the cross-community agenda is to make sure we know who's going to give examples. Now, we didn't get examples like we had asked for, so it's okay if we just go with the examples that Lisa proposed. I'm fine with that. If we still get examples that are brief and can be shared in a 1 minute sharing by a work group member, we can add those to Lisa's examples. But it would be really helpful if we know who's going to do that before we go into the meeting. And keeping in mind that we would like working group members to do it, but we want to make the overall cross-community session very oriented towards the visitors that are there, allow them to suggest requirements, even if they're duplicates, and allow them to comment and ask questions. A few examples will hopefully make it easier for them to see what we're looking for. Any questions or comments on the cross-community session? And as the cross and all, both sessions, I believe, are have remote participation. So if you can't attend in person, I know the hours won't be very good for in some cases, but hope you'll be able to attend. And keeping and I want to repeat what I said last week is that the working group session on Tuesday, which is all morning in Helsinki, will be an actual working group meeting, just like this call is right now. Okay. Any questions or comments on the two sessions in Helsinki? Anyone on the leadership team, did I leave anything out? There's the cross-community session agenda, correct? And we're not going to go through these slides, but they're available on the wiki, the working group wiki, and you can check those. That they really haven't changed much except being more complete from last week. And I think I suggested that, I won't even say that. So All right. Then we may still end a little bit early. The next meeting is in Helsinki. And just to let you know, unless we change this next week, I think the plan is to skip meetings the week after Helsinki. That's been a practice in the GNSO for quite a while, and because people have different travel schedules, some of them, you know, combine other activities after the meetings, and we've had an intense week. So the plan is to skip the working group meeting the week after Helsinki. So just to let you know on that. Any questions or comments? Is there anything else we need to cover on the agenda? Please raise your hand or speak up if there is. Good point, Rod. for those of us in the U.S. Okay. Well, and the 1st of July in Canada. I'm still going to be in Helsinki then. Some of you probably will be too. Sorry for the Canadians on that. Sorry, Stephanie. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. And please remember, if you have any comments or thoughts or suggestions with regard to this approach, we really want to get a sense of that by Friday. Otherwise, we're going to assume we can kind of move ahead in that direction. And I I appreciate the fact that you will find a way to celebrate. You should. And I join Maxime in wishing everyone safe travel for those of you that are traveling, and hope to see a lot of you, maybe meet you for the first time in some cases. I always love doing that after working with people online. So looking forward to that in Helsinki. Thank you very much, and I will adjourn the meeting, and the recording can end.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This concludes today's meeting. Have a great day, everyone.